You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
I've never been on live television before, but apparently sometimes I don't watch the news.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Because I'm a kid, and apparently Grandpa just gives me the remote after we watch the Powerball.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
The Fan.
I can't keep on losing you.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Thursday afternoon. Thank you for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Looks like a beautiful day. Beautiful fall day. You know what's a good night for? Some high school football.
That's right.
On Thursday?
Yeah, they got Thursday games this week, bro.
Friday is a teacher in-service day for most of the state.
Yes, and it is. My daughter doesn't go to school tomorrow.
And so half the leagues play games on Thursday night, half play on Friday night. So fortunate for us, since we have Ducks football right here on The Fan tomorrow night.
Yeah, what happens in the situation if it's not an in-service and it's Friday, but we have a Duck game?
The Ducks contract would have precedence.
No, I was going to say, do you just go your game to 9-10 and then the Washington game doesn't happen?
I don't know. We have not had that specific situation arise.
Oh, okay.
When I found out that the Duck game was going to be on this Friday and then also found out the fact that there are Thursday games this week, I wondered if they were in, not cahoots isn't the right word, but if they coordinated that.
No,
or if it was extremely
random. No. This particular week, every week in October.
No, I'm wondering if the Pac-12 and Oregon worked together to find a Friday that they knew.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
That I don't know.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. So, yeah, high school football tonight.
Yeah.
Who do you guys got?
We got a little 5A showdown. Number 9, Scappoose, visiting number 7, Wilsonville. Both teams 4-1 this season. Both teams younger. They graduated a lot of seniors. Wilsonville runners-up last year for the 5A title. They got a lot of juniors and sophomores, so they're now starting to get the hang of things, so it should be fun tonight.
You know, Cleveland beat Benson last week.
All no players of Benson. Yeah.
Win's a win, buddy.
Does that actually
go on
the schedule?
Both Park Rose and Cleveland playing tonight as well.
Did we win? Did we beat?
I did not check to see if you won. You should win tonight because you're playing Wilson and they're not very good.
Wilson sucks.
Wilson's bad.
What
and
happened
you're at
to
home.
Wilson?
Wilson used to be good when I was in high school.
They were good.
Just the way things have gone over the years, participation down.
Yeah, it sucks for you, Wilson.
Somebody destroyed their water slide, too. That pissed me off.
Oh.
At the pool?
St. Helens visiting Cleveland tonight.
Oh, bring it. St. Helens doesn't stand a chance. Coming into the city, bring it.
I hate to say this, I'm rooting for Scappoose because I run through there for Hood to Coast, and I got outbid in a Wilsonville house years ago, and I think I'm rooting for St. Helens.
Wow. Real solidarity there, bro.
Yeah.
So I rooted for the Braves.
Yeah, did you really, though?
No, I mean, not really. All right, we got a lot to get to in the final hour. Let's get to the Pro Football Challenge.
The Fan presents a little trip around the National Football League.
Simple plays executed with a maximum of effort.
Game by game, our hosts are ready to make their picks against the murderer's row that is the Fan Air Staff. The Junior Fan Genius.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 6.
And yes, you, the mighty fan listener.
Oh, no. We woke up the mama.
This is the Fan's Pro Football Challenge, brought to you by Encore Audio Video.
Today I'm laying the big wood.
The Pro Football Challenge with Dirt and Spray on 1080.
It's go time, yo.
The Fan.
Cut that meat. Cut that meat. Let's make some NFL picks, shall we? An update on the standings, where everybody's at in the Pro Football Challenge. Sprager's running away with this one. Another good week. He won the show week. 9 games correctly picked by you, Brandon Sprague.
I'm running away with it?
Yeah, Swag and I only got 8. Your lead is now at 5. You have a 5-game lead on Swaggart and I.
Wait, what week is it?
I mean, we're past the quarter point.
Yeah, we just got a quarter of the way through the season. You guys could easily catch me this week.
Sprague's got 50, Swag and I got 45. Shout out to the listener leaders, P1 Dustin. He continues to be in the lead with 55.
Damn.
So he's got a 5-game lead on you. And Mari Gota, also with 55. So Mari Gota and Dustin both having good weeks. There you go. Hey, go play along. 1080thefan.com is where you can do it. Win some cool prizes throughout the course of the season. We have an early London game this weekend.
Yes,
is anybody
we
going to wake up at 6:30 a.m. to watch Tampa versus Carolina?
I am. I don't like the London game because of the 6:30 wake-up call, but I'm going to wake up and watch this one. Look, the Panthers are a fun team to watch with a competent quarterback. Christian McCaffrey's been a beast, and defensively, they've stepped it up. I know Tampa's technically the road team here.
Are they really?
I think so.
No, it doesn't matter.
But I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers. I think they keep playing really well. Kyle Allen hasn't been utterly amazing, but he's been really good. And I think he's showing you that if Cam Newton can get healthy this year, he's got weapons ready to go. Carolina,
can you make a move there?
I think you rest him until he is 1,000% healthy. And if that means not at all this year, then so be it. I'm going to roll with Carolina. I think they figured this out.
I, too, am going with Carolina. McCaffrey's just, I mean, they can line him up anywhere, anytime, out of the backfield, in motion, split him out. And so you have to right now design so much of your defense for that. And when Kyle Allen's been effective at understanding when they completely load up to go at McCaffrey, he has effectively moved the ball around to other guys to be able to make plays. So it's nice to have. They're not asking Kyle Allen to win the games all by himself. So the defense is holding up. Tampa's still a head case. So
they are.
I'll take Carolina.
Yeah, this is a weird one. London impact is always strange. You don't really gauge, you know, who can have a bigger impact on. There's no home team. There's no away team. There's something about Carolina that I don't know why, but I'm not buying yet. Now, they played great the last 3 weeks, but one of those wins was against Arizona on the road. It's like, Arizona sucks. It might be the worst team in the league. Got a win against Jacksonville last week, which is a good one. I think a good sign that Christian McCaffrey can run all over people, especially a defense of that caliber. But there's just something I'm not quite buying yet. So for that reason, I'm going to give them one more week. I'm going to take Tampa to win this one. I think at some point the luck's going to run out. I don't see Kyle Allen winning 4 straight games in the NFL. As long as Winston doesn't throw 37 interceptions, I'm going to take the Buccaneers to get the win in this one. Next one up, Baltimore at home against Cincinnati. Is this as easy as the listeners say at 98% Baltimore?
I mean, I'm taking Cincinnati plus the 11.5 points, I'll tell you that much. Look, Baltimore's come crashing down to earth a little bit since their hot 2-0 start and destroying the Miami Dolphins in week one. I still think they're an okay team. That division's not very good. I'm going to take Baltimore to win, but I think Cincinnati covers 11.5 points.
I, too, will take Baltimore.
Sorry,
you got stuff going on. It's all
right. Yeah, he's asking me crap. Where are we here?
Baltimore, Cincinnati.
He's asking me crap.
Leave him alone.
Cincinnati sucks.
Okay. Yeah, they do suck.
They do suck. They are bad.
They're a mess. So, at this point, plus the Ravens are at home, I see until Zach Taylor shows me he's ready to be an NFL coach.
They're tanking for somebody.
I don't know. He just said they're not trading A.J. Green. He's starting to practice, but he's still a couple of weeks away from being available, which will certainly help the offense.
Yeah, they don't have great draft capital. If I'm Cincinnati, I'm blowing that thing up. I'm going Miami route. Give me draft picks. They don't have a ton of them. Give me Baltimore. The spread's interesting, though. 11.5, that's a lot.
That's a lot of points in the NFL.
Baltimore just played a backup quarterback in Pittsburgh, and they probably should have lost that game, and then a third-string quarterback at the end.
They can win 30-20.
Yeah, I'd like Cincinnati to cover, but give me Baltimore. I'm not going to take Cincinnati to win. Next one up, what's going on with this line in Vegas? Cleveland just looked atrocious on Monday night against the 49ers. Seattle, a nice win at home on a Thursday night. So extended rest for Seattle, short week for Cleveland. It is in Cleveland, but the spread's really close. Browns hosting the Seahawks.
Yeah, this is a weird one because I thought when I saw this matchup, I instantly thought, oh, this is an easy win for Seattle. Vegas begs to differ. It's a 1-1.5 point line right now, which tells you all you need to know. And for that reason, I'm going to take a gamble. I'm going to take Cleveland in a bounce back spot here. Seattle feeling good. They were about 5 inches away from losing that ball game to the Rams. And I'm not going to pretend that Seattle's been dominating every team that they've played. I still think Seattle's really good, and they've got a great chance to still win that division. I think they hit a little bit of a road bump this weekend, though. I think the pass rush gets to Wilson. DJ Fluker was sitting out. I think Cleveland is going to get an upset win here and bounce back from their embarrassing showing against San Francisco.
If you give me Pete Carroll and that defense with time, extra time to prepare for Baker Mayfield, I will take the Seahawks all day long. Russell Wilson can still figure out how to move that team to score enough points. It might be close. They might need a missed field goal at the end like they did against the Rams, but this is another game the Seahawks have the experience and the wherewithal to figure out how to win where Cleveland hasn't been there yet.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I know there's always the concerns about Seattle with those 10 a.m. kickoffs. How do they do on the East Coast? Early game for them, traveling out, coming off a high and a win over the Rams on Thursday night. I think they put a lot of eggs in that basket where there was on national TV. They had lost, what, 3 or 4 in a row to L.A. Needed to get that win. Big one for the division. I think there's going to be a letdown this week for Seattle, and I understand it. Cleveland fighting for their lives a little bit after getting embarrassed on Monday Night Football. They seem to me like the kind of team that's just going to have good week, bad week, good week, bad week. That's just who they're going to be. And I don't think Seattle's pass rush is as dominant as San Francisco's. So I'm with Sprague. I'm going to take Cleveland to get the bounce back, get the win at home, and get back to 500. Next one up, Minshew Mania continues in Jacksonville. They are at home, 2-3, trying to get back to 500 against New Orleans, who has not lost a game yet since Drew Brees went down with the injury. Jacksonville hosting New Orleans.
Another interesting line. I would have instantly just picked Saints without even looking at anything. And the Jaguars are actually a 1-point underdog in this.
Yeah, it's essentially a pick 'em.
I'm going to take the Jags. I think they get hot and nasty down there in Jacksonville against New Orleans. Look, is Teddy B really going to get go undefeated until Drew Brees comes back?
3-0 so far.
I don't think he will. I think he's going to stumble. I just would have picked some other team to create that stumble. I'm going to take Jacksonville in a bounce back spot. I liked their fight last weekend on the road. And I'm going to take the Jacksonville Jaguars to beat the Saints.
But I think all the turmoil with Teddy B, not turmoil, but Teddy B going back to, you know, is Drew Brees coming back sooner than later, is overshadowing just how the Saints in a year completely turned that defense around. Mm-hmm. I think that's too much to ask of Jacksonville to keep up. You know, with Bridgewater, they have been able to keep up scoring, not at the rate that Brees had, but teams still don't know how to cover Michael Thomas after all these years. Now, Jalen Ramsey might finally be back. He had a meeting with the owner, and
yeah,
maybe they buried the hatchet between the two of them, and the owner's going to address whatever situation Ramsey might feel slighted with coaching or GM or Tom Coughlin or whatever it might be. But I just think New Orleans is too much to ask for Jacksonville at this point.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. The concern I would have if I'm Jacksonville is the way that McCaffrey ran all over him last week. You look at Kamara maybe having a similar performance. Jalen Ramsey being back, though, if he does play, as Swigart mentioned, the meeting with the owner could change things slightly in that regard. New Orleans is unique, too, because they've won 3 straight games in different ways. I mean, they won a defensive game initially. They won a game kicking only field goals against Dallas. And then they won a game last week where Bridgewater looked really good and the offense got going a little bit. And so they've won different ways, which would concern me with Jacksonville. I think there's a prove it there with the Jags. I, too, will take New Orleans to get this win on the road. And what a great situation for Drew Brees to come back to, man. Can you imagine if they end up going like 4-1, 5-0, something like that until he comes back?
That would be incredible. And you know, I heard Swag, who's the news anchor? I'm blanking. Colin does the news?
Joy Taylor?
Joy Taylor. Thank you. Joy Taylor actually made a great point this morning. Not that she's never made a good point, but she said, if they keep winning, why would you bring him back?
Yeah, I mean, you let him heal fully.
I mean, if you could honestly stretch this thing out to a ridiculous level, if you could even get to week 12 or something crazy, week 10, and not have to force him back because you're winning.
Yeah.
I would much rather do that with 40-year-old Drew Brees and basically preserve an entire season's worth.
You have him fresh.
Give him a few weeks in the regular season to get right, and then you go into the playoffs with 100% Drew Brees. That would be such a benefit over so many teams.
If they keep winning without him, man, it's a great theory, and I'm going to take him to get the win in Jacksonville. All right, we got some more games to go. How about Kansas City-Houston? That should be a good one. We have to pick the turd sandwich game in Miami and Washington. Minnesota, do we trust them against Philly? A couple of good games, Rams and 49ers. It's a good week in the NFL. We'll pick the rest of the slate coming up next right here on The Fan. Hey, I want to ask a question. Is there anything Damian Lillard could ever do outside of leaving the team in free agency or demanding a trade that would force you to run over his jersey in the parking lot?
Yeah, he's sleeping with my wife. I would do a lot more than that.
You got me there.
I'd want to do a lot more than run over a jersey.
You porked my wife. What do you think? 55305, because that happened in sports last night.
You know, the semi-pro movie really touched on that topic. I think that has happened, and I'm so fascinated to find human beings who that happened to and if they continue to root for said athlete or said team.
Yeah, what do you do in that situation?
Like when Woody Harrelson's character gets traded to Flint and he sleeps with his ex, who's currently a fan or with the biggest Flint Tropics fan.
The fan of the team, yeah.
Muncy?
Is that you?
I guarantee that's happened. What does the guy do in that situation?
Yeah, you like your team. We'll get to that coming up bottom of the hour. Let's keep it going. Pro Football Challenge, 1080thefan.com. Go play along. Chance to win prizes. Here we go. How about this game? Houston coming off of a 50-point performance against Atlanta. Back over 500. But remember, Houston is a good week, bad week, good week, bad week, good week, bad week team. But they're going against Kansas City, who all of a sudden limping in a little bit, literally and figuratively. 4-1 Kansas City, Mahomes ankle banged up. 88% of people going with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I might end up changing this pick because I can see both scenarios happening. But today as we sit, like, that offensive line is banged up, and now J.J. Watt and company are coming in. That would leave me a little nervous. Defensively, they're giving up 5 yards per carry. I expect a better performance than what we saw Sunday night against the Colts. But because of that defense not being able to stop a nosebleed, Patrick Mahomes got a bit of a bum wheel. I'm actually going to take the Houston Texans to go on the road. Will Fuller coming off a 200-yard receiving weekend. I think DeAndre Hopkins has a big day. And I may switch, but today I'm going to go with Houston.
I can't imagine the Chiefs having two stinkers offensively back-to-back. This might be a total shootout. And I think that hasn't happened much to Mahomes in his career. So I think this week will be a lot of film study, a lot of understanding of what happened, where opportunities were to maybe make smaller plays, where he's used to making big plays to keep drives going. I think he'll be much better for what happened against the Colts. And Andy Reid and he will have a game plan that can better adapt to limited offensive line, moving the ball around. They should have, they're hoping to get a few more guys back offensively well. So I think it might be a shootout. It might both, you know, first one to 40 wins, but I think the Chiefs will find a way.
I'm a swag on this one. Until I see Kansas City throw back-to-back clunkers up offensively, I'm not willing to gamble on it. Houston is a team that looks great one week, looks terrible the next week, and I am leaning on that. They're on the road, yet to have an impressive, to my knowledge, road win this season. I know they were in New Orleans and had that heartbreaker during the opening week, but Kansas City, the reason they lost that game was Mahomes couldn't move, so I'm giving him a week to get that ankle slightly healthier. I know he said he's not at 100%, but he can move a little bit better. And the Colts, I mean, you're talking about Swaggart's, man, whenever we bring up the Cowboys' offensive line and say they're the best. Colts might have the best offensive line in the NFL. They ran the ball down Kansas City's throat. I don't think Houston has that ability. I will take Kansas City at home to get back on track. Okay, we ready?
Here we go.
Bring the analysis, please.
Okay.
Miami is at home. They are 0-4.
Yep.
Washington is on the road. They are 0-5.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins, Redskins, who you got?
Give me the Dolphins. Because they won't suck as much as Washington.
That's pretty good analysis. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I actually stayed up real late for that one.
Yeah, a lot of research went into that.
I will go with Washington here.
Okay.
And let me tell you why.
Let me tell you what.
You want a better win for your Dallas Cowboys on the schedule?
No.
We beat 1-4 Washington.
So, Snyder already fired the coach. He's not going to fire the GM, which means all he has left to do is start cutting players. In Miami, they already dealt anybody that had those guys.
Yeah, they're gone.
Unless they get injured and can't play, they know they're developing and trying to work towards things. There is not the level of urgency in Miami. I think everybody's accepted the fate of that season. I think in Washington now the players with Bill Callahan realize, okay, all our heads are on the chopping block. Who knows what Snyder's going to do week to week? And if we screw something up or look crappy, he might just move me. I think that will motivate them. They do have more talent than Miami.
They do.
So Case Keenum might play, which would be helpful for them. So based on
the level of
urgency under the seats of everyone now in Washington, I think they'll find a way to get a win.
You put a lot of logic into that, and I don't know why, but congratulations to you. I'm going to take Washington because I think they suck less on Sunday.
I just realized Swag was still talking.
He was really breaking that Washington-Miami game. He's still going.
You really dove into that thing.
Yeah, I think Washington quits. There's a couple of guys crying in the locker room because Jay Gruden got fired. Yeah. Miami, they're playing for their jobs.
I think both of them were playing for their jobs. That's enough on that game.
Can we move on? This is actually a good one. Minnesota, my boy Kirker is bouncing back. You like that? Adam Thielen, shut your mouth. There's two touchdowns and 150 yards for you. Minnesota at home, 3-2, hosting the 3-2 Philadelphia Eagles.
I have no stats to give you for this one. I think this is just going to be a gut pick. I'm going with Philadelphia.
Shocker.
I think Philly is feeling really good about themselves. They had an easy win last week against the Jets.
Yeah, they smoked the Jets.
They had lost a game against Atlanta that I bet they wish they could have back. And they also had that Green Bay game. I think Philly is just the better team. I think they are road tested, mother approved. I'm going to take the Eagles to not allow Kirk Cousins to throw for 300 yards, a career high, and win the game.
I, too, will take the Eagles. I think Jim Schwartz is going to dial up blitzes from every part of the field and make life as miserable for Kirkers as possible. So in that regard, I think that will cause some turnovers. And if the Eagles get extra possessions, they'll build a lead.
Everything you guys said is accurate, and it's really hard to disagree with it.
Here we go. Turn.
But you know I can't pick against
Yeah,
my
here
boy.
Comes the Hogan leg drop on Randy Savage.
You know I can't pick against my
no!
boy.
No! Hogan's in WO!
I am dying on that hill, unfortunately.
Give me
Minnesota.
On one day, somebody's going to go, why does your co-host love Kirk Cousins? I won't have an answer for him.
I'm so dug in at this point. I can't turn back,
You
man.
Were dug in on Andy Dalton. You quickly quit.
Yeah, I had another average white quarterback to move on to, okay? His name is Kirk Cousins, and he's going to get a win this weekend.
Why can't you pick, like, an average Asian quarterback?
Blow your horn.
Okay.
Give me Minnesota at home. Please don't break it down. Just give me a winner. Arizona hosting Atlanta.
Spoiler alert, I might take Atlanta and spring the line this week. I know they're in a
You're
bad spot
to give me a winner.
At 1-4 Atlanta.
Okay, thank you.
I will take Arizona.
I will take Atlanta. Next one up, this is a good one. L.A. at home taking on San Francisco. Rams off of Thursday night. San Francisco off of Monday night.
I'll take the Rams. I think the Rams have a case to be made. They should have won the last game. They were really close in Seattle. I think they figured it out. They got extra rest. San Francisco coming off that Monday night game. I'll take the Rams in L.A.
The Rams' offensive line has not gotten significantly better despite the time off. I think the front four of the 49ers can get to Goff without having to blitz. That will cause enough problems, and the 49ers stay undefeated.
I'm sniffing this one for springing the line tomorrow. I saw a stat, McVay in his career now 11-1 when you give him extra time to prepare for an opponent. The only game that he has lost is to
49ers.
New England and Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl. 11-1, 8-0 against the spread.
That's a good guess,
That's a good guess, though, yeah.
Kind of thinking the same thing.
Maybe that was setting me up right there.
No, I know. No, I'm going the Rams. I think the Niners are riding a high letdown game. Give me the Rams at home. Next one up, we don't need to break this one down either.
Tennessee.
Okay.
Denver.
Okay, Tennessee. Everybody say Dallas on three. 1, 2, 3.
Dallas.
They play the Jets. Everybody say the Chargers on three, I think. 1, 2, 3. Chargers.
Chargers.
By 14.
Chargers, okay.
They got a kid named Hodges playing at quarterback.
Hodges. And Green Bay is hosting Detroit on Monday night. It's actually a mildly good Monday night game.
We'll see.
Are we taking Green Bay?
I am going to take Green Bay. Detroit can prove a lot to me this week. I'm still not buying in. I know they're 2-1-1, and they've played well recently. But now you're going into Lambeau. This has always been a tough place for them to play. I'll take Green Bay, but Detroit can go a long ways if they can win this game for me.
I think LaFleur and Rodgers have finally met in the middle. That offense against Dallas looked like an Aaron Rodgers-led Packer offense that I've seen in the past, and you have a reliable running back to add to it. I think they finally know what they want to accomplish together and are getting closer and closer to being exactly on the same page. I think that's too much for the Lions to deal with.
Yeah, I think we're sleeping on Green Bay a little bit in the NFC. Rodgers and the floor getting along. Remember that was the whole storyline in preseason was, or how is he going to get along with the floor?
I just think it took him time to figure out what each other wanted, and then Aaron Jones is there. And
I think he's giving him some control. He's allowing him to have a say in the room, allowing him to audible the line of scrimmage. Defensively, Green Bay's really good. And you got to think, I mean, they're 4-1, and Rodgers hasn't even played that good of football.
Well,
his best game of the year, they lost.
I know. How good is Dallas?
I still think Dallas is a good team.
That's a good win.
I'm not going to overreact to one game because
Dallas isn't going to be in the playoffs. I thought something of Dallas 2 weeks ago, and now I'm sitting here going, they've beaten nobody.
Their offense doesn't look
amazing anymore. They're not giving the ball to Zeke enough. I think it's a fair question. I love it.
Pro Football Challenge every Thursday from 2 to 2:30. Go play along, 1080thefan.com. We have submitted our picks officially, and you got a chance to beat us, which you probably will, and win some cool prizes. Okay, we got a game 5 on the ALDS. We got to get to that Thursday night football as well. Does anybody care? New England, New York? We didn't even pick that game. I don't think we have to, but that is happening tonight. And let's get into what happened last night in the parking lot of Dodger Stadium. Is it okay to run over Clayton Kershaw's jersey after that game? All of that still to come. Hey, I want to wish a happy birthday to Brett Favre. Him and his copper fit turned 50 today. Brett Favre.
What's Brett Favre doing in town? I'm in town to play the Dolphins, you dumbass. Still one of my favorite athlete lines in a movie of all time.
Yeah, and it is.
He is somebody I used to, because I wasn't a Packer fan, so I used to root against him, and I hated watching any team go against him because I always felt like they were going to lose. He was so good.
Yeah.
And I just watched a highlight clip because somebody tweeted it out for his 50th birthday. And you forget he was Patrick Mahomes before Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Rocket arm, easily flicking it 45 yards down the field, right on the spot. No look passes against the Eagles. And you know what? He seems like a guy who's finally found, you know, kind of his place. For a long time there, I think with retirement, am I going to stay in? Am I going to play?
He struggled with it for sure.
Yeah, I think he battled with it. And I think that's a very normal thing for anybody in any job to go through. And it seems like the last few years now, he's cool with Rodgers. They just did a podcast together. He's always coming back to Green Bay to recognize or appreciate somebody. He's really good when you get him in an interview. He seems like somebody who's in a good spot, and that kind of makes me happy because he was one of the better athletes to watch growing up.
Yeah, he also just did a sit-down podcast with Peter King, and he highlighted a lot of concerns he has about his long-term health. Talking about it, he said he had thousands of concussions. He said every time you get ringing in the ears and you're seeing stars and you go to the ground, they say that's a concussion. He said, I had hundreds of them, probably thousands of them. And he's terrified of where he's going to go, just where his health's going to go now that he's turned 50. He had this to say, too. Quote, we can even get into this a little bit next week. He's an interesting character, but said, the more I played hurt and played well, the more I dug my heels in. I love to play the game. There was a part of me numerous times. You covered me numerous occasions. The question was, will he or won't he? Quite frankly, Monday, I would have said, there's no way in hell I'm going to play with a broken thumb on my throwing hand. Not only did I end up playing, but we beat the Vikings on Monday night in Minnesota, and I had one of the best games up to that point I've ever had. So I said, I'm going to do it again. Yeah. He just kept playing hurt. He was stubborn about it.
He had that Iron Man streak going. How many shots do you think he took of Tortle?
Oh, God. I don't even want to know.
With all the injuries and how banged up he was, I remember the picture came out, and this was early in the social media landscape, but when he played for the Vikings and they lost in that title game in 2009, I remember that picture of his ankle. Oh, my God. That was horrific. He's out there playing with something like that after getting banged around all game. He also had a blurb that was a little concerning, and I understand where he's coming from. He said growing up, almost his entire life, he was known as the guy that knew everything or remembered everything. Hey, Brett, remember that one time? And he would just,
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. Yeah. And he's at a point now. He doesn't remember chunks of his career.
Yeah.
They'll say, oh, yeah, this and that happened, and he won't remember anything, which concerns him. And I also, he went to a school recently and he did a Q&A with some kids. And one of the kids asked him, you know, if you could go back and change anything, would you? And he stopped the kid before the kid even finished. And he said, look, I appreciate the question. I get this one a lot. And I loved his answer. It was, I wouldn't change anything because in life you learn some of your best lessons when you fail. And when you succeed, it's because you went through failure. And there's nothing that I would change about anything that went on in my career.
That's a great answer.
Good or bad. I thought that was a great answer for a group of kids.
That's a great answer. Well, happy birthday to Brett Favre. And he actually ties into the guy I want to talk about here because we brought him up earlier in the show. So the Dodgers last night, things did not end well for them. They blew a 3-1 lead in the eighth inning, went on to give up a grand slam in the 10th, and their season is over. The Nationals are going on to the NLCS. What a cool story, by the way, the Nationals are. Like, we focused the whole opening segment on the Dodgers and blowing it and managerial decisions. Like, this is a team that was 15 games below 500 early in the year. Their manager was going to get fired. They came in to the wild card game down, was it 3-1, I think, and they rallied in the eighth inning to take the lead.
Well, wasn't it 3-0?
It might have been 3-0.
I think it was 3-0.
Might have been 3-0.
Got that run,
and then the air in right field. Like, they are a cat with nine lives, man. And I love stories like that. And they did it again last night, down 3-1. But in LA after the game, you had fans. Not this was like the new fan response. Usually they burn the jersey. That started with LeBron leaving, and everybody burned his jersey in Cleveland. Last night at Dodger Stadium, they were taking off Kershaw jerseys and running them over in the parking lot. How do we feel about that?
I mean, I don't think I have any real feelings on it. I mean, would I do that? I would never be in a position where I feel like I need to take a jersey off of another human being, and because they didn't perform how I wanted them to perform.
I'm gonna run over it with my car.
Well, it was a guy in a parking lot. He looked like a valet, but he was just holding up the Kershaw jersey, got in the line, and he goes, running over Kershaw jerseys. And somebody from the LA Times tweeted out the video. Look, fans are going to be fans. I don't. They're the same fan base that also, as soon as the home run was hit by Kendricks, got up and left.
Just bounced.
Their team didn't even bat yet, and they said, no, we're not coming back. And look, I understand the feeling in that stadium was probably, this is the ball game, but you're leaving as soon as that's done, not even give your team a chance and sit there and root them on. They won 100 games this year. I'm not a fan of that style of being a fan, but it's an emotional roller coaster for everybody.
I asked if there's anything Damian Lillard could do to get people to run over his jersey in the parking lot. Somebody did text in, Lillard sleeping with a wife could create the greatest spragging the line, who's the daddy ever? We had another one.
Said, well, we would know right away.
Immediately right away. That would stick out.
I would be Jim Carrey and me, myself, and Irene.
Hey, what's going on here?
It's a boy.
The sausage comment, that's a classic movie line.
As Italian on my side of the family.
Somebody said, because you mentioned Dame sleeping with your wife. He said, screw that, I'd high-five her for landing Dame. Maybe a couple autographs, my time, June. Hey, to each their own.
Maybe there's some athletes that can do no wrong.
To each their own. Yeah, it's just that you hate to see that stuff, too, because you know he hears the headlines. And it's different when a guy's leaving town. Right, like when a guy leaves the city, you know, blows you off in free agency, he's gone. Like, you don't need that jersey anymore. He doesn't play for your team anymore. Kershaw still plays for your team. Like, he's going to be back starting game two of the regular season next year. Like, what are you going to cheer him? Are you going to boo him? Like, just brand, you going to have tire tracks on your jersey? A bit aggressive tactic after the game.
I would think you'd take a Washington Nationals fan approach to this with Kershaw. Because the Washington Nationals, until last night, have never won a series in their existence coming back from Montreal.
No, first one since 1924, technically.
And so you're 100% right. Like, we've talked about the Dodgers, the failures of Kershaw, what's going to happen with St. Louis. We've talked a little bit about the AL. We haven't mentioned Washington once.
Yeah, it's a cool story.
And they were on the road in a game five in a situation where they've never succeeded, and they succeeded. And they came up big against one of the best pitchers in a decade. I would just think the fans for Kershaw and the Dodgers in general, it's always disappointing, I think, to watch him flame out or fail in big spots. But I would think you just come back next year and you cheer for your guy, right? Like, if Dame were to miss this year, a walk-off Western Conference Finals shot in Game 7, Blazers were down one, are we going to – and I know Dame hasn't failed in the spots that Kershaw has, but I think the mentality would just be – that hurts, and then a month later you start thinking, going, yeah, we'll come back next year and hopefully Dame can get it going.
Well, to a certain extent, Dame has had his issues in the postseason. I know he's hit the game winners, the iconic moments in the OKC series was really good, but he had some really weak points in the Denver series. Think back to a series against New Orleans when they got swept in the first round.
Statistically, he dropped off after OKC for sure, but he was also playing at an incredibly high rate.
He was, yeah, but you never saw any of that kind of animosity.
So let's say you go home today. Uh-huh. We get done with the show, you go home, you're a little tired, you want to lay down. You walk in your front door and you hear a noise, and out walks Madison Bumgarner drinking a Coors Light shirtless, coming out of your bedroom?
Spraying Coors Light showers in the bedroom.
Is he like the one guy where you maybe go, dude, did you just do what I think you did? And he goes, I did. You got something to say?
He'd drop, get you three of these. I'd say, all right, thanks, Madison. Have a great day, buddy. Can I ride your horse? No? No trade-off here? All right.
Wedding's still on, by the way. Wedding's still on.
Hey, you want to come next summer? You know, I can send you an invite, man. Bring Bochy. Bring the whole crew. Bring the trophies. Make this thing a party.
Oh, man.
There you go. So that happened in L.A. last night. Hats off to the Nationals, man. I've done a 180 on them. I was pissed because I went to D.C. this summer and a game got rained out and they were total D's about it. Couldn't get refunds for the tickets, the whole thing. I've done a 180 on them. Cool story, and I'm sure Bryce Harper was watching that thing last night crying into his beer.
I'm rooting for him. I'd much rather see them beat the Cardinals than watch the Cardinals celebrate yet again. $300 million, but do you think he was sitting on the couch in disbelief?
Yes.
Has to, right?
Has to be.
Human nature.
Has
to. Of course these guys do this when I leave.
Somebody says, Portland, we'd be running over Dame's jersey on our bikes. Touche. Got to get the bikes out. Maybe the scooters, electric scooters.
But we'd have to place it in the bike lane.
That's right.
We wouldn't want to interrupt things.
Come on. We got an ecosystem here. All right. Let's close up the show. We got some poll questions we need to answer. Thursday Night Football. Does anybody care about that game? And how about do the Rays have a chance in Houston? That's all next right here on The Fan. Well, we got another good sports night tonight. I'm just going to mention it because it is happening. The Blazers have a preseason game. Also,
I don't know if we have a great sports night tonight. Nobody cares about the Blazers playing an international team because nobody's playing.
No.
I just got invited to the game with great seats, and I said, no.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah, CJ, no Dame, no Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah.
Load management.
You got to manage their loads.
And Pau Gasol still out with his foot injury.
Load managing two games into the preseason.
That's right.
Can they just load manage the whole preseason and stop acting like they want to play in the preseason?
Yeah, that's a valid point.
And then you've got the Giants and Danny Dimes.
Yeah, there's no intrigue around that game.
Well, the only intrigue is there's a nor'easter blowing in, so there's going to be rain. Wind gusts could approach 40 miles an hour. It's supposed to be in the 40s. So if the weather makes things interesting, it could help keep the Giants from getting blown out.
And people keep pointing, I want to say point out back-to-back, but people keep saying this is probably the last time Brady's going to play the Giants.
Yeah, that's true.
A little payback
for him, although I don't think this would equate to the two Super Bowls beating Danny Dimes.
I know, but...
Aren't like the four best players for the Giants not playing outside of Danny Dimes? Like everybody's out and banged up.
Barkley's out, Shepard's out.
Nice, what could go wrong?
Right. But Bill Belichick, yeah.
All right, so those suck. Let me sell you on this, though. By the way, my mom was in Omaha recently. She was visiting some family back in Nebraska.
Omaha.
And on her flight back to Portland, she was on the flight with the Israeli team.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
From Omaha?
I mean, I had a connector in Nebraska. I don't know where they're coming from, but she was like, yeah, they're really nice guys. I was sitting next to the Israeli national team or whoever the hell. They're coming to play the Blazers.
What if they were all guys from Nebraska and they were like, hey, let's just be the Israeli team?
Yeah, you just go heritage. That's how you're on the team, right? I thought that was funny. So, yeah, they're in town tonight to play. You do, though, have a good game tonight, okay? This one's going to be good, and that is hopefully.
We'll see. I hope so.
Game five of the ALDS, Tampa versus Houston. And, Houston's the favorite. They got Gerrit Cole on the hill. Tampa couldn't touch him in game two. I think he had, 14 strikeouts or something nuts. Like, he's swinging and missing left and right. Houston got out to an early lead in the series, but they've now lost back-to-back games. And you have to imagine tonight, similar to kind of the conversations we were having yesterday, there is no pressure on Tampa in this game.
None.
All the pressure is in one clubhouse and one clubhouse only. And that is the Houston Astros.
0% of the pressure on Tampa. So you're playing with house money. You feel a little looser, a little better. But Houston's really good in this spot. Right? Houston's been in pressure situations before.
They won game seven.
They've been close to eliminations, and they've bounced right back and said, no, we're not going to lose this. This is a very good lineup. I know that's a Captain Obvious statement, but even if we're going to say the pressure's on Houston, I think Houston's more than welcoming of pressure, given that they probably feel they let one slip and they're at home tonight. It's a lineup that loves to kind of have that chip on the shoulder, and some people kind of pick in Tampa now as a dog. Mm-hmm. That collective staff, not just like one ace, but that collective pitching staff in Tampa had such a good outing in their last game. I think Houston is really excited to get this going, and a lot of the metrics right now are projecting just plugging and playing with what they've been doing. They're plugging in and saying that Houston 5-1 is a projected score.
5-1 is the final.
And I hope that that's not the case, because that's not going to end up being a good baseball game.
Gerrit Cole has been so stinking good, man. He has been just dominant this season. The 300 strikeouts, we know what he did in game two of the series. He has just been dominant from start to finish. Glasnow is a good pitcher, though. I mean, he's 6-1 on the season, a sub-2 ERA. I think he threw the ball decently. I can pull up the game log. I can't remember exactly how he did. He went 4 innings, 2 runs. All right, so they got him out of there decent early. 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. So he wasn't dominant. They lost that game 6-2. But he's got a good arm, a younger kid, so he's got a chance to put up a fight against Gerrit Cole. But just when you have this kind of mismatch of a starting pitching matchup, I think that's why everybody's going with Houston. I can't blame him.
Cole got a full rest,
yeah, because he had 2 travel days in between. They went to Tampa going into game 3 and then the travel day back. So he ended up being on full rest. I'm split on this one, too, like, because I love the anarchy of playoffs. It's one of the reasons why I love the NHL. When you get there and you can have an 8 seed beat a 1 seed, you just never know what's going to happen. The NFL has that a little bit when you get, like, the Giants coming in as the wild card team and going on the winning 3 straight road games and winning a Super Bowl, or Philly with a backup quarterback. Like, there's something to be said for anarchy. So in that regard, I would love to see Tampa win tonight. But just the idea of the Houston Astros starting rotation going against the Yankees lineup, like, that is just strength versus strength that would be can't-miss television, and the ratings, I think, would be through the roof. So I'm kind of split on who to root for tonight. But you're taking Houston?
I'm rooting for Tampa, but I think Houston's going to win.
All right. Yeah. Swigard?
Yeah, I think Houston. I mean, Gerrit Cole was just so dominant, 15 strikeouts in that last performance.
Verlander was in game 1-2, though, but he's not. But he went on short rest.
He was on 3 days, I think.
Yeah, he was on 3 days rest, and the Houston lineup at home in that ballpark knows how to take advantage of the short porches and those sorts of things.
Yeah, they also went from an empty stadium for 4 straight years to now they have one of the best atmospheres, yeah, I think, you have in baseball in the postseason.
You know who did that just in the last 2 weeks was Tampa.
Tampa did that as well.
It was so weird turning on the game 3s and 4 in Tampa and seeing a full Tropicana. Well, it's like, really? Really?
Yeah, and my problem with it, like, Houston, I get the Houston fan base to an extent saying, why am I going to pay to go watch you tank for 4 years? They showed up when they were good. And by the way, Houston fan base was pretty good when, you know, Beltran Biggio, Bagwell. So they're a good fan base. The Tampa one, I'm baffled. You know, I understand playoff baseball, elimination, all that. You guys are showing that you have the ability to go to a game, but you largely don't, even though your team is really good. And they were battling for that wild card those last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a playoff game. Houston's in. Stadium's packed. Everybody's got a yellow towel. It's like,
all right.
Okay, so regular season, 10 of you want to come here, but playoff baseball when...
1 week later, really?
Yeah.
It was almost condescending to a certain point. It was hard to watch. I feel for those players, too, because they've been outspoken about it. Like, hey, if your team sucks, as you said, I mean, it makes sense, but when you're in a pennant chase, like, you need to win in the final week of the season to clinch an AL wildcard spot, like, what the hell?
Yeah,
a big game.
If I was a player for the Rays, I'd be thinking this. I wouldn't say it, but... all we hear all year is the bitching and moaning about how St. Pete, you have to drive over a bridge, right, and it's so annoying. It's 30 minutes out of Tampa.
Right.
Playoffs come, and then nobody cares?
Not a big deal, apparently, anymore. Poll questions today. Which fan experience was tougher yesterday, Dodgers or Braves? 77% of people went with the Dodgers, blowing it in the 8th inning. Who is to blame for the Dodgers' collapse? 46% of you went with Dave Roberts and the way he handled the bullpen. Also, does the Cheez-It pizza from Pizza Hut look good? 84% of you are smart and said, hell no.
Don't get it.
We ate it
today.
Please on the show.
Don't get it.
And it was bad.
It's really, it's like a bad Hot Pocket.
It was bad. We got high school football coming up on the fan tonight. Thursday night action. Swigard's working, then he's off tomorrow. And tomorrow is a Ducks game day. We're going to have traffic in every break during our show.
Yeah, so traffic and weather every single break. And Ryan Buckley has to sit in the studio next to us.
Yeah.
And he's either doing a co-hosting bid, or he's just going to sit in silence. It's going to be kind of interesting.
I think we should have him cheer or boo at everything we say if he agrees or disagrees.
Oh, you know what we could do?
Is heckle us in the background.
He could be the official of who wins every segment.
Ooh, there you go. He's our moderator for the day. Mm-hmm. Let's debate for 3 hours.
Although
baby,
he's a Giants fan, so if Dirt wins, that's bias.
There you go. Good show. If you miss any of it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. Thank you for being a part of our Thursday. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan. I need your stains on the ground, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.